2, 1.
Got it.
Oop, we're good.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophet wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to Watching for Jesus program on Revelation Radio Network, brought to you by Revelation Radio Network. My name is Thomas Campbell, and my website is Watching for Jesus program, and that's my website, watchingforjesus.com. And we're here every Monday night on Revelation Radio Network from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I also have a website, watchmanforjesus.com, where I also have it recorded, and you can hear it there as well, or here on Blog Talk Radio under Watchman for Jesus show. Welcome. Tonight, family, is actually, although self-contained here, this program tonight, it will, in effect, be part two of a program I started doing today at 4 to 6 on my regular broadcast, 4 to 6, Monday through Friday. I said that twice, didn't I? Anyway, this is part two, but it also is self-contained. In other words, it's going to be of its own, standing on its own, but I will continue on with talking about the fallen angels, the Nephilim, and giants in the Bible. Giants in the Bible. The Bible. Which Bible? King James Bible. Family, before I get started, I want to dedicate the broadcast. And then I got to explain something about the Bible right quick. It seems to be an issue lately. I'm going to explain something. And then we'll move into tonight's program. Family, the giants, this is not some science fiction thing. This, you can talk about immigration, you know, what's going on down at the border, all you want. It's not going to solve a thing. You're just going to know it's happening. It's all been planned by the government and Mexican government, working with the U.S. government, that are all Illuminati, preparing for the North American Union. And they work together, you see, and they're letting the, you know, immigrants go back and forth by design. They're inoculating them with diseases. That's right. Send them back to South America, back to Mexico. And the ones there, they're bringing here to bring diseases back up. And this is a game they're playing for depopulation that people don't have a clue about. And the U.S. government, State Department, will control the Border Patrol to make sure they do not find the ones creeping over. They make sure the Border Patrols don't find them. If you get I'm going to tell you right now, if you have a real honest, God-fearing, patriotic Border Patrol member, he sees something going on and he says he's going to report it, they will kill him. The government will. Of that, there's no question whatsoever. They murdered Pat Tillman because he was coming back to talk and speak out against the Iraq war, and the government murdered Pat Tillman, okay? The government murdered Nancy Schaefer and her husband. You understand where I'm going with this. It's a fact. It happened. All right? And so this is a reality. It's Illuminati. It's Freemasons. It is Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. The secret societies runs things for now. But they won't at all on the long term. Because they will be targeted themselves by the Illuminati and what's referred to as the hierarchy. Will target all Freemasons and they will execute every single one of them. And that's a promise. I'm trying to warn them. There's a bigger picture going on here than what meets the eye of people. You're being lied to, family. And you Freemasons, the secret society members, you're being lied to by even your highest level of brotherhood members. They're lying to you at the third degree level. Saying it's for your own good. Man, get out of the Freemasons. Get out of there. And get out of the Knights of Malta. You got to run. And run fast and run hard. You see? Because they are going to take you out. You know, that's harsh words, but the evidence is clear. Evidence is clear. I didn't stutter. I said it twice for emphasis. You see? This is not a game. This is no fun time. Because it's coming for real. You see? I don't come to these programs just to pass my time and sell whatever. I don't buy anything. I don't sell anything. I'm just here to spread the word of the gospel. That's all I care about. Nothing else. Nothing else I care about. Family, you got to know what's going on. It's got to be told. And I do it for free. You know, I mean, nothing wrong with selling things and all that. People do that, and that's great. But I don't get involved in it. I don't touch it. All I do is spread the gospel. God takes care of me otherwise, whatever way. And that's all I'm concerned about. And that, because when they crash that dollar, and they're going to, they do a worldwide financial reset, buckle up. Buckle up. They confiscate the gold, and they will, during martial law. Family, y'all better get ready. Spiritually, get ready. Because it's going to get ugly after it gets better. It's going to get worse, then it's going to get better, then it's going to get even worse. It's called the tribulations. And it's coming. Now tonight, I said I'm going to talk about the giants of the Bible. The fallen angels, the aliens or whatever, because they're in the future coming. No such thing as aliens. These are fallen angels. These are demons. From the second heaven realm of existence. Brought in by ritualistics. Murders, sacrifices of babies, infants, children, and adults, and disasters that's produced by a harp opens up portals, allowing these demonic entities to come inside this realm through portals. And the last thing we'll say about that right now is that they've achieved technological advances to be able to bring those demons into this realm without sacrifices by using technology. Serious things are going on, family, while we're all concerned about immigration and all this other stuff, Agenda 21 and all this stuff going on to keep you all busy and under a political veil of secrecy by causing fear and confusion and separation of the races, all keeping all people busy so your eyes will stay off what they're really doing in the background, setting up the New World Order so no one can pray against it. No one can stop legislation. She don't know what's going on. And they can pass things just like they did the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. While everybody on Christmas vacation. Christmas is pagan anyway, as is Easter. You see, it's to worship Jesus Christ. Worship God through Jesus Christ every day of the year. Not just on Christmas, not just on Easter, and not just on Sundays for 20 minutes or 30. 7 days a week. That's what they did back in the days of old. That's what they're supposed to be doing now. Nothing's changed. Except the people. God hadn't changed any. But we sure have. We pulled away from him. And going to church just on Sunday and just sitting there nodding your head up and down at a preacher talking or a rabbi or a priest or whatever. Man, that's not it. It's how we live our lives. It's how we read the Word. It's how we do for other people. It's how we carry our lives and our characters and so forth. That's the worship of God. Not just going to church and getting a little star there that I attended. Or put money in the plate. That don't mean anything. It's how you live your life. It's about worshiping of the Savior. Worship of the Creator. See, Jesus Christ is the Creator. Jesus Christ is the embodiment, is the incarnation of God into human flesh. Came to man. That way, he had a personal relationship with mankind. He lived as we lived. He hurt like we hurt. I bet you that Jesus Christ skinned his knee when he was a baby. He came out the usual way, had an umbilical cord. I bet Jesus Christ had a belly button because he came in the usual way. See, Adam didn't have a belly button because Adam was created. He didn't come in through the usual way. He was a created being, adult. God didn't create him as a baby and say, okay, I'll wait till you grow. No. Do you ever think about that? That God created Adam as a complete adult right there at the moment he made a creation of mankind. Man, when he said, I created man, he meant Adam exactly. There was no human beings of any kind before Adam. It says specifically, Adam was the first man. That's what's first is the only first one. There wasn't one before. Oh, I know they get into multiply and then replenish and multiply. They get all mixed up in the words there, thinking that man was created before Adam and Eve. Well, there was not. The Bible doesn't support that. They make it up if they want to. They make up anything they want. But the Bible don't say that. Genesis 1, creation of man. Genesis 2 is the exact description of that man, and that man was Adam. And Adam and Eve created other humans, by the way, who lived, died, multiplied, replenished. There you go. They try to say that Adam and Eve was the first Jews. Abraham was the first Jew. That's right, the Abrahamic covenant. Yep. So much so that God, when he gave Abraham the covenant, he told him to move away from the other parts of the family. Separated himself from the family before him, began another family ahead of him called the Hebrew Israelites. Abraham was the first Jew. Ishmael, half Arab, half Egyptian, was his first son. Isaac, full Hebrew Israelite from Abraham and Sarah, was the chosen one. Jacob come along, 12 tribes, oop, they goofed. They failed to bring the word of God to mankind. They failed in their tasking. It was passed on to the Gentiles to bring God's word to mankind, the time of the Gentiles. Hebrews failed. Still had the bloodline, but they failed to bring God's word. So if hypothetically, I hate speaking hypothetically about the Bible, but if the Hebrews had actually continued on with the 12 tribes from there, that point of Jerusalem and Israel and that area, then continued being obedient to God and delivering his word, we'd be speaking Hebrew today. But we're not. We're speaking a universal language called English. English is universal. There's no other language can claim that. God knew this already. When it passed to the Gentiles to bring God's word to mankind, it went to the Greek. The Greek, Iesus, I-E-S-U-S, I became J. Jesus, not Yeshua, Jesus. If you're reading a King James Bible, translated into exact Hebrew, it might say Yeshua. And if you take the King James Bible, the real one, and you translate it into Chinese, it'd be Yesu. But the Jesus is of the doctrine of the King James Bible. And in English, it's Jesus. But here's the catchy part. They're trying to get everybody, every country across the board to say Yeshua and Yahweh. You know why? Because Yeshua and Yahuwah, whatever, can't even hardly say it anyway, is the name of the fallen angel, Sananda Emmanuel. See, it's sneaky what they're doing. Because he's going to come in a disclosure And I'll get into that a little later. When they have disclosure and the announcement that aliens exist by the Vatican will announce it, it will destroy religion as you know it. And you know what he's called himself? Look it up right now. That liar, Sananda Manuel, fallen angel who's a liar, is calling himself Yeshua. And Yahweh. Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards in the Tetragrammaton. Jehovah is the name of God. Elohe, I am that I am. His name is I am, Elohe. Not Yahweh. Not Yeshua. Because this is a sacred name movement. Arnold Murray and other cult groups. Trying to change it around a little bit to match this Ananda Manuel that's coming. He's a fallen angel. I don't know when it's going to happen, but you'll know when, because it'll be worldwide news. It's called disclosure. And that's when the Roman Catholic Church, according to their own planning, will have a re-spiritualization of their doctrine. Is yet to happen. Now, I'm going to talk about that tomorrow and Wednesday. The Roman Catholics and the millions, they don't even know it's coming. But the Vatican does, because they planned it. Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit priest, is known as the father of the New Age movement. Right there is one hefty clue. And guess who the mother was? They always have a father and mother or something, don't they? The mother of the New Age movement is Helena Blavatsky. You see? And the New Age movement was the religions brought to mankind by the fallen angels to Nimrod. It's all connected together. Every bit of it. We're going to pray now. I'm going to dedicate this broadcast and let's get moving. Got a lot to talk about. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in this Revelation Radio Network. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have that we can also use this network to spread the word of the gospel, Lord, and also bring the truth to the airwaves. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank you for the King James Bible. Lord, we thank you for the King James Bible. We thank you, Lord, that it is for us to use to learn all about you. Lord, we pray against any interruptions. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to spread the blood of Jesus around us, to protect us, Lord, and keep us where we can study, worship. And Lord, we pray against these interruptions, Lord, that we know they're going to come. We know they're going to come. And they're going to increase, Lord, and we need that help to keep those demons back. Lord, we call upon you, Lord, to send those warring angels down, to break down the protection these wicked have. Lord, to break down the protection of the fallen angels, that they'll be exposed for who and what they are. Lord, we call upon you to seal up those portals that they're opening through witchcraft, human sacrifice, and technology. Lord, we need that help for divine appointments set to protect our combat veterans, other veterans, from these psychotropic drugs and their effects. Father, to stop these suicides that are being orchestrated and planned, that's, Father, we see the bigger picture. Father, the only way we can do this is through supernatural help, Lord. And to bring out whistleblowers, to cause dissension among their ranks at the highest level, to take down their technology. Lord, we pray against it, that the technology is destroyed. Father, we pray for protection of these children, that others can escape. And we thank you, Lord, that those young girls in Nigeria, that 60 of them escaped, Lord. We know, Father, you're at work. We thank you for this, Lord, and we pray for more to escape these bondages, this human trafficking, the sacrificial use of children today, Father, to expose it to the world, to take them down, Lord, to give us opportunities to witness to others about the love of Jesus. And Father, to give courage to find those pastors, rabbis, and priests to step away from their controlled churches, synagogues, and cathedrals, and preach the true word of God that contain the King James Bible. Lord, we need that spirit. We need that help. Father, because so much deception is being passed around. And Father, in these things we pray for more opportunity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, if those that's following what's going on today in the Bible, those are following the events of today, and if you have started linking the events of today with biblical principles that's happening, that are laid down, you see it's all going by the book. Literally. And you know, you would certainly think that if Satan or fallen angels or aliens were in control, if they'd make it go the way they want it to go, they would meet their deadlines. You see? That they would change numbers that the Bible says. They wouldn't go with what the Bible says. If they're in control, why would they have to do that? Why would they have to go with what the Bible says? Wouldn't you, if you were them, say, well, we're in control, we're going to do what we want to do. And show we're in control. See, they can't do that because they're not in control. God is. And God's allowing it to happen because of sin that's entered the world. Satan is prince of this world right now. But there's going to come a time he won't be. And that time is called tribulations. And it's coming. It's coming like a choo-choo train. When's it going to happen? Nobody's going to know. It's just going to happen. The only part, our role is to spread the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. That's it. You're not going to stop it. It's not going to stop. You're going to slow it down by prayer and fasting. You're going to delay it. When God's had enough, they pass enough laws against the Bible, like same-sex marriage. And the federal government changes the laws of the land to go against the Bible. Well, that's a start. That's a start, because the more that changes the laws of the land to go against the Bible, God just pulls away, allowing Satan more opportunity. But see, this is the catch to it. Those secret society members and those Illuminati and the fallen angels that think they're having victory, it will be their undoing. They will be placated into a false sense of security. And once they think they've got control, they'll find out they don't. And again, that's called the tribulations. And that's why in the first seal, you have peace and prosperity, peace and safety, security and safety, prosperity and safety. It's called the white horse. And it'll be used to placate, to pull in those that were weak in faith. And that's what it's for. To pull in those that go along with what Satan wants, that are afraid, that don't trust in God, don't read the scripture. It separates and divides the wheat and the tares. And the wheat and the tares have nothing to do with DNA. It has to do with whether you take Jesus as Savior or not. That's the division, that's the dividing line. And once that's been done, then will come the second seal. Jesus Christ, the only one that can do it, will break the second seal. And that is the real World War III. Millions are going to die that time. And that's when pestilence, disease will take over. And those who stand for Jesus call souls on the altar to the fifth seal will then be beheaded, will be killed in different ways and whatever. But their souls will be taken by Jesus. And then there'll be cries of, Lord, how much longer will it be? And then we'll bring on the sixth seal of the first 3.5 years of the seven. And there'll be a great earthquake. That's when the blood moon, only one, not four. Hagee and Mark Spitzer's wrong. They're dead wrong about four blood moons. That's a worthless book. Worthless. Totally worthless. There's one blood moon in the sixth seal. Sun was dark as sackcloth. And that earthquake will take down everything man-made in the sixth seal. And the sixth seal will come the 144,000 of the real Jews. By this time, Jerusalem will be wiped out. And God will allow it because the Antichrist will double cross the fake Jews in Israel today. On his way to the abomination of desolation in Jerusalem at the mid-tribulation. The two witnesses will come out at the sixth seal. The earthquake. And the seventh seal will bring on the abomination of desolation, but the seventh seal will bring on the first trumpet of God's judgment. And let me tell you something. When God does judging on this earth, there will not be left one square inch untouched by God's judgment. You're not going to have some silly claim that there's a red lake over here and that's God's judgment, or pictures of red lakes and red rivers and all this other nonsense going on, and dead fish and dead birds, dead cows and all this in certain spots around the earth and globe. Well, we can sit on TV or internet and watch the tribulations go before us like you would some soccer match. Knowing God's judgment, it will not be biased. It will be unbiased. In other words, it will be all over the globe. It will be on your front doorstep. God is no respecter of persons. All will be judged that have not accepted the Lamb, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. When's the rapture? Don't know. Nobody knows. When's the tribulation? They don't know that either. Nobody's going to know until the time it happens. Then you'll know because you'll recognize it. And you won't find it on YouTube. It'll be on your front door. It'll be in your town. Wherever you are, you'll see it. The famine, the disease, the death. Judgment will come upon this earth. There's no way around it. They're missing 500 plus thousand children per year just in the United States. Out of 700,000, they can account for 210,000 domestic and all kinds of other ways. Runaways, domestic, whatever. 58,000 are abductees or something like that. They got a breakdown. But when you do the breakdown of 700,000 missing, there's 500,000 not accounted for. You think God's going to let that go? No, sir, he's not. Nope, ain't going to happen. Because the satanic realm the fallen angels, the demonic presence, the Wicca, the secret societies that turn their back on God, will be sought after. They will be judged. Our so-called joint chief of staff, they dance with the devil because they brief the Council of Foreign Relations. And the Council of Foreign Relations, that is the Illuminati at the highest level. Lower level CFR members are, they just make paper airplanes and shine shoes. That's all they do. They have no idea what goes on behind closed doors at the Council of Foreign Relations level, at the highest level. They don't understand the evil that's present there. They don't know. The Joint Chief of Staff, I know for a fact, in 1993, there was 9 members that were members of the Council of Foreign Relations. Number of ambassadors, a large number of ambassadors, State Department officials, were card-carrying members of the Council of Foreign Relations under the Clinton administration. And everyone, going back to Woodrow Wilson, has been involved in it. I'll tell you exactly how many. 7 top-ranking members of the Joint Chief of Staff of the U.S. military and 11 top-ranking officials of the Defense Department were members of the Illuminati in 1991 to 93. That means the other members of the Joint Chief of Staff put up with it and sat there with their thumbs up their noses, not saying, why don't you get out of the Council of Foreign Relations? That's kind of funny in a way, because you know it's never going to happen, because they're all in bed together. These are facts, I'm telling you, not speculation. So you see, Satan has deeply entrenched himself into the governments throughout the world. Satan is prince of this world. He's god of this world. But he's not king. And God allows him certain latitude so as to tempt the nations and tempt the individuals using demonic entities, which we'll get into shortly, to divide the wheat from the tares. So the bottom line is, which side are you going to be on? The side of man or the side of God? And on the side of God is taking Jesus as your Savior, repenting of sins, and trusting in the Holy Spirit to lead you the right way. That's it. That's your food. That's your money. That's your life. There's no fear of death. Death is but a next step on the way to heaven if you've taken Jesus as Savior. But if you're afraid of death, scared to death of death, and you're scared to death of life as well, you can know where you're going when you die. You darn right you can know, because God's promises are solid. But right now, they keep shooting things like at you, like the coffins in Georgia, like the Agenda 21 and the little polka dots on your mailbox and foreign troops in America and all this stuff and getting you all divided and separated. Oh, some of these things are definitely true. But what they're trying to do is not give you any solutions, only fear. And when you have fear, you've lost your faith. You see? It's going to get worse now. And your faith is going to be tested by family, friends, work. And your buttons are going to get pushed. So what you need to do is push back with scripture, with prayer, with witnessing to others. Easier said sometimes than done, I know. But that's the test you're under. And when this thing hits the fan, that's when you're really going to be working for God. Right now is only practice. Now, I don't see the, oh, by the way, I don't see the chat, and I don't know why I cannot get that link right. I can never get it right. Sometimes people send me the link and I can find it, and other times I can't. I don't understand. I guess me and technology, man, it just ain't working for me. Oh, boy. So, I may get on that chat tonight or may not on the Revelation Radio Network. Otherwise, if it's the sound is not working on Blog Talk, you can go to my website, watchmanforjesus.com, or Revelation Radio at Blog Talk. I mean, whatever you want. Either way, I've got it. It's going to be recorded. It's got archives at Revelation Radio, archives, I think, and I got archives as well, just whatever. But tonight, I want to prepare, and I'll be talking about it all week, even on my own broadcast, 4 to 6, Monday through Friday, about the fallen angels and giants and all that sort of thing, because family, they're going to just pop out of nowhere. The giants are in the Bible. Now, I covered this earlier today. And actually, all you got to do, it's really simple. I don't know why people don't do research. It's so simple. You come up with Esau, for example. You know, and you hit that little, you know, binocular thing, and then you got a Bible search, right? And you put the word giants in there, and then you hit that little binoculars again, and ba-dum, there it goes. You got it right there. It tells you 11 verses found and 13 matches. Yeah, that wasn't hard. That took every bit, oh, 10 seconds, I guess. That's all you got to do. Now, in the Bible, now, a little refresher, what I talked about earlier today. It talks about giants. Now, we're not talking about basketball players. The Bible's specific about giants. Notice you don't find them in the New Testament. Isn't that curious? Because these were giants. We're not talking 8-footers here. We're talking 15, 20, 30 foot. You're talking grapes the size they had to use two men to carry these grapes. Family, the atmosphere back then was different than it is today. A lot different. And alchemy was used to make things grow. Speed up reproduction, all kinds of stuff going on with alchemy brought to mankind by the fallen angels. And the flood that God brought to destroy all, you ever thought about that? Why would God destroy all living things on the planet? And there's all kinds of evidence about the flood and so forth. The Grand Canyon occurred because of the flood. If you believe the Colorado River cut out that big old Grand Canyon, man, I got a whole bunch of certificates for oceanfront property in Arizona. I'll sell you for cheap. Yeah. Yeah, you see. No. The flood made and carved out that Grand Canyon and other canyons around. The great flood did. Why would God kill an entire planet of human beings and animals? Would it be because the DNA is corrupted? Yep. And it wasn't because of so-called aliens. And one thing that shoots, and I got Baptist ministers that did a double take when I said, man, there's no aliens out there. And I had Baptist ministers, that's your proverbial, you know, Bible belt, whatever, that snapped their heads so I could hear their eyeballs clicking. Of course there's aliens. I said, really? There's aliens, huh? Just because the Pope says so? No, there's got to be other. Even Billy Graham says they're aliens. Well, I got a question for y'all that believe in the aliens thing. Then you cannot believe in the Bible. Because the Bible talks about, and it's very important, original sin. It's a key concept of the Bible. So, if you say there's aliens out there, what about original sin? That blows that theory right out the door. If you want to believe it, then you don't believe in the Bible. Can't have both. Can't do both. Original sin, by one man, all mankind is corrupted. By one man, all of mankind is saved. That's Jesus Christ, the corrupted DNA was Adam. So, therefore, are they saying that Earth is the only cursed planet in the entire universe of so-called millions of other planets with life on it? So the Earth is the only cursed one? As I've said before, that's not hardly fair, that we're the only cursed planet in the entire solar system, entire universe. So that must mean that all the other so-called planets with life on them had their own Adam and Eve. So God made sure there's a reptilian Adam and Eve and a silicon-based Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve's everywhere. Everywhere there's Adam and Eve's everywhere. It's got one. Yeah, you can believe that if you want to, but I go with the Bible. First man was Adam of the entire universe. Everything revolves around the Earth. NASA are a nestbed of Masons. Masons have taken a blood oath to lie. That should be a hint. A blood oath, every degree they go up to keep secrets of the craft and to keep secrets from even from their families. So that's a big problem. That completely shuts down any credibility of any professor, any scientist, any theologian, any politician that's a Freemason, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, or Jesuit. Shuts them down. Why even bother books? Family, it's time to step out and stop being penny-ante about this and lukewarm. It's time to step out and be bold about what you know. And what you know is that King James Bible is 100% true and literal. They can claim it's not. They can prove nothing. I thought about that today. Everybody denies King James, sole word of God. Everybody says and claims there's errors in it. Nobody can provide one thing whatsoever. As a matter of fact, all the written material, you want to call it, proves otherwise. All their claims fall apart. There's nothing written that supports their position. Anyway, giants in the Bible, y'all. A little refresher. Those of my regular listeners that bear with me here, and those that's new, here we go. Genesis 6:4 says there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. These are special men. Now they like to tell you the sons of God were the sons of Seth, godly men. Really? So are you telling me that would be specifically the sons of God, that there's only, well, I can name them actually. Seth, Enos, Cana, Mahael, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, and Lamech, and Noah. Now for them to be got the other family, do I have to tell you they had to have wives? Yeah, unless they were earthworms with two legs. They had to have wives. They're not androgynous, whatever that word is. Anyway, so they had to have wives. So where do wives come from? The wives came from reproduction. Where'd that come from? From Adam and Eve reproducing. That's where they came from. So that means they had other family members, had other humans. Millions after, about 1,500 years, I'd say. But only mentioned in the Bible because they're significant, because they were godly, righteous men. Seth, you know, well, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about 9 or 10 of them here, up to Noah. 10 were godly men mentioned in the Bible. The Bible's not going to talk about 20 million people and give them by name, and the Bible's not going to happen. He's going to talk about the ones that were obedient, the ones that are significant. Okay, so Adam and Eve had other children after Cain and Abel, and those children had children. They had, but these are only ones significant that the Bible talks about. So they had brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces and all sorts of connections there. It was okay for inbreeding because there wasn't anybody else to breed with, for goodness sakes alive, in the Old Testament, before the flood. So when Cain killed Abel, you know there were some there that followed Cain. Were nieces, nephews, sisters, brothers, whatever, that would follow along with Cain. Because they were the offspring, the first of Adam and Eve. So they'd be important, would they not be? So when Cain killed Abel, he was still the bloodline. Sent to the land of Nod, exiled. The land of Nod was not some area. Where are you going to go tonight? Well, we're going to hang out at Nod. No, Nod is translated into wilderness. That's what that means. The land of Nod is land of wilderness, to wander. So there weren't other settlements, and one of them was Nod. So when Cain was cast out, there were those that followed Cain, was in his group or whatever, went with him. So who did he marry? Is a niece or a sister of younger sister, younger niece or whatever? Because that's they are reproduced, for goodness sakes. That's the point. The first city ever built was named after his son Enoch. Named the first city Enoch. But not the Enoch of the bloodline of Seth. That's a different story. There's two Enochs in the Bible. Son of Cain and the son of Jared. Father of Methuselah. Enoch. And that's there's no book of Enoch written by Enoch either. I'm not going there right now, but that's another story. Enoch never wrote a book. The prophecy of Enoch was passed down through Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. The prophecy was passed down as mentioned in Jude. Talks about a prophecy being passed down, not the book of Enoch. See, all this is connected. Well, in come the fallen angels, here's the point, before the days of Noah, were the sons of God, interbred with the daughters of Cain and the daughters of Seth, of those humans living then, they interbred with them and created giants. So here's the main point. There are those that try to tell you the sons of God were the sons of Seth. So then that begs the question, are you saying then that only the sons of God, the godly men of Seth, produced giants that became cannibals? Murderers? No. Sons of God were the fallen angels, not the sons of Seth. And in Job 38:7, New Testament, after the flood, sons of God still existed. It talks about them also, but in Job 38:7, it speaks of the sons of God that were here before the cornerstone of the earth was laid, before the earth was created, were the sons of God. So, how could the sons of Seth be here before the earth was created? And it talks about in Job 1 and Job 2 that there are sons of God that came before the throne and Satan was among them. So they aren't the ones that were chained in utter darkness now, were they? No, they were the second wave of fallen angels that came down after the flood. Two waves of fallen angels. Physical. They turned physical. Now, angels in heaven cannot breed, cannot marry, because they're supernatural, they're spiritual. They come to earth, though, they must take on a physical body. Otherwise, you'd be talking to the visible man. Ha! And the visible men are not going to reproduce. So they take on a physical flesh body that's made of copper DNA. Composed of copper DNA. Humankind, or carbon-based DNA, can handle a lower level energy than a copper-based DNA being, which can handle higher level energy. That's why they can change shapes, by the way. Go back and forth through the portals, by the way. Because they're copper-based DNA. Copper-based flesh. Well, here's the catchy part. When God told Noah to build a big boat called the ark, he's going to destroy the world with water. And he did. The Nephilim died. The giants died of that period of time. So the fallen angels had to see their, well, children, I use that term loosely, had to watch them die and their new world order taken apart and their plans, their dreams destroyed by water. And boy, that ticked them off, but that's too bad. Then he chained them. Here come the second group after the flood. And then come revenge upon mankind. It's been ongoing ever since, even up till today, on how they're trying to destroy mankind through depopulation plans, through war, through DNA manipulation. Once again, now you sort of get an idea what's going on in a much higher level than Agenda 21 or FEMA camps or what else? Nebaru or something, I don't know what. Immigration policies and blah, blah, blah. Man, that's small potatoes. That's nothing compared to what's really going on in the outside. Now, as we go along this week, in my other broadcast, 4 to 6, I'll be picking up the steam, talking about details as we go along. And today, pretty much, was to lay the groundwork for the upcoming broadcast Tuesday through Friday. That being said, Numbers 13, verses 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come to the giant of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. You're talking 30, 40, 50-foot giants. Because the manipulation of DNA by the fallen angels, they had to wait generations to see how they could affect and corrupt the DNA. Today, they don't have to. They use technology. And after the flood, when they came back, the ones that continued on, the second wave of fallen angels, they benefited from the knowledge and trial and error of the ones before them. And I mentioned earlier today that they quantify the DNA structures to the point that they could actually form humans. Not just giants, or not just what I call bubbleheads, weird-looking creatures, but family. They interbred with mankind after the flood. As a result, came the pharaohs of Egypt. Part human, part angelic DNA. Copper-based DNA, human flesh. More able to be used as avatars or being possessed, because the copper-based DNA could handle the extra energy that comes in from being possessed, you see. Mankind cannot do that because the carbon-based DNA will not be able to handle the increase of energy required to possess that flesh body. So they would spontaneously combust and burn. So now, let's take another step. So the pharaohs of Egypt were hybrids. Part Nephilim, Nephilim, but part human and part fallen angel. Now, buckle up. The pharaohs migrated to Europe, then began in the Middle East the reign of the Caesars. The reign of the Caesars was set up to start killing those Christians, those that followed Jesus Christ, or followed the Christian belief. Jesus wasn't born yet. And there came the Colosseums. That's what that was all about. Was trying to extinguish But even before that, Nimrod was the first attempt at a new world order. And if you recall, that Tower of Babel, that was the third generation after Noah. At the Tower of Babel, it was a piece of architecture that was going to be based on alchemy, built with copper, laden, and able to, at certain levels of the atmosphere, when it was finally, that was the idea, to allow the fallen angels to come through by human sacrifice and alchemy. God saw that it was being done. He tore it down, changed the languages, scattered the people. From that point began the new cultures. That's another story. Then fast forward into the Egyptian pharaohs, you got your hybrids. They were leaders of the land. Moses was up against the pharaoh of Egypt. He was Nephilim. Okay. So the Nephilim then migrated to Europe. The Caesars were there to kill off all those that followed Jesus, or followed the Messiah, followed the Christian belief. Not Christianity at all. But Christians who followed Jesus. Not based in Christianity. Christianity wasn't created yet by the Vatican till the 4th century. Way before that. Family, the pharaohs of Egypt, the Nephilim of that time, that migrated to Europe, became the basis of the royal family bloodline of today. In other words, the Merovingian bloodline, the Queen Elizabeth II, the connection also, the Carolingian bloodline, can trace their roots all the way back to Charles Mayne, all the way back through Attila the Hun, all the way back to Muhammad the Prophet, all the way back King Edward IV, all the way back, keep going back, to the pharaohs of Egypt, hybrids. Now you know why they intermarry and why they don't allow to marry outside their bloodline, because that copper-based DNA is carried on. That's why they marry their second cousins. They keep it the bloodline. Back to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 2:11, which also were counted giants as the Anakims. But the Moabites call them Emims. You see? So we're talking the same ones, the giants, the Illuminati, the Illuminati would be the pharaohs of Egypt migrated to Europe. That would be the Illuminati, by the way. The basis of them. How about that? Well, but going back to the days of the Old Testament, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, the Anakim, which come of the giants. They were as grasshoppers. Well, Deuteronomy 2:11 also says, which also were counted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites call them Emims, E-M-I-M-S. So you got the Anakims, sons of Anak, A-N-A-K, and the Emims, called by the Moabites, were all giants. So now you have three different names of them. Deuteronomy 2, verse 20, that also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time. And the Ammonites, called them Zamzumims, Z-A-M. Z-U-M, M-I-M-S. So now you got 1, 2, 3, 4 different names for the giants. Deuteronomy 3, verse 11. For only Og, what a name that is. It's like some name in a science fiction movie. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. So they're dying out. They're killing him off. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon. 9 cubits was the length. Family, it's about a little bit over 12 to 15 foot. Up to about 15 foot long. That's a big board. 4 cubits, the breadth of it. About 7 foot, give or take. After the cubic of a man. Goliath. You had skinwalkers, the Indians call them, in the American plain, up to about, I think it was the 10th century, 11th century, somewhere around there. The Indians had to contend with the skinwalkers, or the giants in the North American continent that comes from this unholy alliance. They were killing Indians, they were cannibals, but the Indians bounded together, which is what we're going to do. That's coming. Think about that for a minute. That's the next war, right around the corner, to bring disclosure. The Indians had to band together to find these giants, trace them where they're living in the caves, close them off, burn them out, and kill them. Took them a long time to do that. They got you thinking today we're going to World War III. The military forces worldwide are preparing for this extraterrestrial Nephilim meeting, by the way, using World War III as a ploy. The real World War III, as they've planned already, the second seal, a partial Gog and Magog, the completion of Psalms 83, the second seal, will be between Islam, Turkey leading the way from the north, and the political Zionism against Israel. That will be World War III, and that will bring out the old Roman Empire. It's the healing of the wound. Yep. So back to the giants now. Deuteronomy 3 verse 13. And the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto half tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. Joshua 12:4. And the coast of Og, king of Bashan. That boy got around, didn't he? Which was a remnant of the giants that dwelt in Ashtaroth and at Edrei. Family, that name Ashtaroth is very significant. That is the name that the fallen angels are using as a facade for the alien, their alien names, the S-Star Command, like Battlestar Galactic or some other nonsense. Well, they're using this name. They are the fallen angels, and they're using Ashtar. Look it up. Well, they get that from Joshua 12:4. And the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was a remnant of the giants, the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth. That's amazing how they pull that out. Joshua 13:12. All the kingdom of Og and Bashan, which reigned at Ashtaroth and in Edrei, Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants, for these did Moses smite. Moses kicked their butt and cast them out. Now, how did he do that? Do I have to ask that question? God led him. Only through God. They're coming up with weapons and Battlestar technology and all this stuff in the military, fast ships, all this stuff, in preparation, listen now, in preparation to take on these giants, to take on these, they think that the military at the highest level, Joint Chief of Staff and scientists and whatever, think they're taking on some alien evil going on. And they've got the good aliens on their side, and they got the bad aliens going against them, and they need some superpowered lasers and fast ships and nuclear weapons and all this. It's what they're preparing for. Well, they're going to be fooled because the fallen angels will work both sides and will control both sides as they've always done in every war and every battle we've ever been in. And this is no different. They'll have to declare martial law. And then there'll be a peace of prosperity. And as a matter of fact, I can show you where that's been planned already. Reagan talked about it 5 times in his administration. They prepared this back in the early 1900s. John Dewey, a humanist at his worst, was the father of American education. And he said, and I quote John Dewey, professor of philosophy in Columbia University. Columbia was an Illuminati college, who was the next speaker, was listening with great intents and interest at this one reception in 1917 put on by the Imperial Japanese Mission. John Dewey, who stood up and spoke, he said, and I quote, "Someone remarked that the best way to unite all the nations on this globe would be an attack from some other planet. In the face of such an alien enemy, people would respond with a sense of their unity of interest and purpose. We have the next thing to that at the present time, before a common menace, North and South America, the Occident, Orient, have done an unheard thing, a wonderful thing, a thing which it may be in future history will point to the most significant thing in these days of wonderful happenings." God, what a load. "They've joined forces amply and intimately in a common cause with one another and with the European nations, which were most directly threatened, with a few dreamers hoped might happen in the course of some slow coming century, has become an accomplished fact in a few swift years." He continues, "In spite of geographical distance, unlike speech, diverse religions, hitherto independent aims, nations from every continent, have formed what for the time being is nothing less than a world state, an immense cooperative action in behalf of civilization." You realize what he just said in 1917? World War I was a war to end all wars. Woodrow Wilson, Mandel House, Illuminati at the highest level, had set up World War I to bring on a new world order. The war to end all wars. It failed and just passed on to World War II. We brought 10,000 Nazis over World War II, 1945, Operation Paperclip. We never won that war. We just brought Nazis to America. All this is part. This is why Hitler was so involved in the study of the Black Sun. Helena Blavatsky. He was Roman Catholic. To wipe out the Jews and wipe out the Christians. Because they were planning a 1945, a new world order then, and they failed again. Y'all see what happened here? Right here, John Dewey tells you, talks about the extraterrestrial threat in 1917 to bring the world together. I hope some of y'all caught this, because this is slam dunk, irrefutable, quote, documentation. Confirmation of their attempt at a world order that goes back to Nimrod. And here, in 1917, John Dewey talks about extraterrestrial threat to bring everybody together. So that would have meant that they were going to try it out. But then God never allowed it to happen. Do y'all recall Now, some of y'all that are experienced in the studies of the New World Order, I'm sure you've heard Reagan's speech. But in case you haven't, all Reagan does is update it with his Star Wars technology. Now it's starting to click. 1966, the Iron Mount Report tells you that they're going to claim an extraterrestrial menace as a fake and a fraud. And NASA aimed at unreachable targets. In 1966, they'd planned this. They've always planned this. Ronald Reagan, another Knights of Malta.
Side universal threat. I occasionally
hold
think
on a minute.
How quickly.
Let's do this again. All right, here we go.
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat?
And more secure for you and your children.
Another speech.
I couldn't help at one point in my discussions with privately with General Secretary Gorbachev, when you stop to think that we're all God's children, wherever we may live in the world, I couldn't help but say to him, just think how easy his task and mine might be in these meetings that we held if suddenly there was a threat to this world from some other species, from another planet, outside in the universe. We'd forget all the little local differences that we have between our countries, and we would find out once and for all that we really are all human beings here on this earth together.
See, Reagan was a humanist as well as Nixon, and you can see photos of both of them at Bohemian Grove. I find that very interesting. All of them have been frauds in our history, and they've been headed toward this New World Order, every single one of them. You know that Reagan is described as an honorary Shriner and Knight of Malta. Former President Ronald Reagan administration was the most Roman Catholic. Ronald Reagan was a Knight of Malta and a Shriner. You can pick your chins up off the floor now if you want to. Family been lied to. I thought Reagan was a good guy. Absolutely was not. Reagan, Nixon, none of them. Not a doggone one of them. And they're all part of this agenda of bringing the New World Order, fallen angels, all that stuff. They've all been a part of this. Now, I'm going to go back into... There we go. Joshua 15, verse 8. And the border went up the valley of the son of Hinnom, H-I-N-N-O-M, on the south side of the Jebusite, the same as Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom, westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants, northward. It just keeps going on and on about giants, family. They're all there. And these, they didn't play basketball back then, let me tell you. When they say giants, they mean exactly that, giants. Now, let's get down to some meat of it. So we talk about who, for example, who are the Anakim? See, the Anakim were a formidable race of giants, warlike people, called Anakim. And they occupied the lands of southern Palestine near Hebron before the arrival of the Israelites. Joshua 15, verses 13. Now, I'm not going to read all these verses because it will take us a while if I was to read all the verses, I suppose. I'll give you the verses. I'll read some as I go along. But for time expediency, I'll continue on. And tomorrow will be part 3 of my regular broadcast, 4 to 6. If you can't make it and you're still interested in what's getting ready to happen in your future about these so-called giants, I'm giving you the basis of them, the background right now to show they exist. And they are coming back. That's the point. This isn't just history. This is future. Because they produced others in the ground that God's got held back in the caverns, north and south pole, and in caves and cages where the government has been running these experiments. And they're going to be released on this earth, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. So I'm not just giving you a history lesson, I'm telling you what's coming and the basis of it. The Anakim's ancestry can be traced back to Anak, the son of Arba. You'll find that in Joshua 15:13 and Joshua 21, verse 11. And they were at that time regarded as the greatest man among Anakim. Now, the name Anakim means long-necked, tall. Hebrews thought them to be descendants of the Nephilim. And the Nephilim, or giants, was a powerful race who dominated the pre-flood world. We talked about Genesis 6:4 and Numbers 13:33 already. And when the 12 Israelite spies returned from exploring the promised land, they came back with a report of people great and tall. They identified as the sons of Anak. Deuteronomy 9, verse 2. The Israelites, not having faith, lost their faith, and they were, is the word encapsulated, or they were seized with fear, and they believed themselves to be mere grasshoppers, but they were small. The Bible, some folks that try to interpret the Bible as a grasshopper, look at it from another perspective. But when you see the descriptions given, that these were giants, and they did look like grasshoppers to them. And if you see the statues in the hieroglyphics and statues of actual carvings in Egypt, where they're just giant carvings, I submit to you that was the actual size. So, they rebelled against God, didn't trust God, and Deuteronomy 1, 26 to 28, Deuteronomy verse 1, 26 to 28, they rebelled against God and did not follow him because of their fear. Sound familiar? Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us to the land of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we've seen the sons of the Anakims there. Family, do you understand what I've just read? They were giants. They had the castles so high. Why do you think that God had Joshua to march around seven times and blow the whistle, blow the horns. Is it starting to kind of come to you now? You see how this works? Deuteronomy 1 verse 30, and what they don't realize today, apparently, is that the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. They lost their faith, went against God. Boy, that's happening now. So the Israelites were exhorted by Moses. Deuteronomy 1:19. And not to fear the Anakim, but they refused to trust God's promises. As a result, God became angry, prohibited the evil generation from entering the promised land. Joshua and Caleb were the only exceptions. Deuteronomy 1, verse 35 and 36. Because of their fear of the Anakim and their rebellion against God, the children of Israel were forced to wander for another 38 years in the wilderness. Now you know why. During the conquest of Cana, Joshua expelled the Anakim from the hill country. Caleb finally drove them out of Hebron completely. However, a small remnant found refuge in the cities of Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. You find that in Joshua 11, verse 22. And you have biblical scholars that have speculated that the Anakim's descendants were Philistine giants that David encountered. Well, it was still Nephilim, which included Goliath of Gath. See, these aren't covered in a lot of churches, in a lot of Bible studies, because you're going to encounter these again in the future. It's not over with. They're coming back. They are coming back, as in the days of Noah. The sons of God to the daughters of men. So it goes back to the sons of God, doesn't it? The sons of God of the Old Testament, Genesis 6, 1 to 4. Job 38, 7. There's all kinds of suggestions as to who the sons of God are and why the children they had with daughters of men that grew into a race of giants. The NIV uses the word Nephilim, but the King James Bible, the only true word of God, calls them giants. Now, to be prepared, the world will submit to you three primary views of this identity, the sons of God. Some that don't even know, and they are guessing. And others, because they're trying to hide who they are, because they already know. But one of the views is they were fallen angels. Another view, they were very powerful human rulers. A third view, they were the godly descendants of the Seth intermarrying with wicked descendants of Cain. Oh. So, giving weight to the first theory, that they were the sons of God with the fallen angels, is Job 1:6, Job 2:1, and Job 38, verse 7. That's very important to know. Because those three verses will blow out of the saddle any preacher, any rabbi, any priest that says, oh, these were the godly men of Seth. Those three verses will blow that clean out of the saddle. And a potential problem with it, though, Matthew 22:30, to be on both sides, indicates that angels don't marry. Well, that's in heaven, where they're spiritual, not on earth. And when you say marry, it don't mean marry in a godly way. It means to do the hokey pokey. That means that they would create children, you understand? They would take wives. Back then, that meant Mary, taking them. It didn't say, well, you fallen angel, take thee, whatever, to be your lawful. It doesn't work that way back then. The Bible does give us reason to believe that angels do have a gender and are able to reproduce. The daughters of men came into the sons of God took the daughters of men and came into them, produced Nephilim. That's pretty clear cut right there. And view number one is the most likely position. And the only contradiction they could come with that is say that angels are sexless, and then to say the sons of God were fallen angels who procreated with human females. However, while angels are spiritual beings, Hebrews 1 verse 14, they can appear in human form. If you go to Mark 16:5. In Mark 16 verse 5. And entering to the scepter, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. He said unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold, the place where you laid him." That was an angel. And the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, they wanted to have sex with the two angels that were with Lot. Jesus 19, read through 1 verse to 5. 1 to 5. So it's plausible that angels are capable of taking on human form. And even to the point of replicating human sexuality and possibly even reproduction. So why the fallen angels not do this more often? Well, they have been. You see, in the beginning, the Old Testament, before the flood, God imprisoned the fallen angels who committed the evil sin of procreating. And that so the other fallen angels would not do the same as described in Jude 6. They came down and did anyway, because they had free will. And pretty much the pseudo-biographical writings are unanimous in holding the view that fallen angels are the sons of God and mentioned in Genesis 6, 1-4. Now, it kind of begs the question, where's the demons come from that exist today? What happens when you had a soulless physical being, and God, it wasn't an image of God? What happened to the soul and the spirit, or the spirits? Well, linking it together with the understanding that the sons of God were the fallen angels, and that the Nephilim were the hybrids of offspring, and that the union between fallen angels and human women, creating a hybrid carbon and copper-based DNA. Yeah. It begs the question, what happens to the spirits of the fallen, the Nephilim, the giants, after they're killed? Whether by the flood or in case after the flood, we've read about Genesis 6:4, Numbers 13:33. Now, there's a lot of speculation that the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, the giants, the abominations created by this union, remained on the earth and became what we refer to as demons with specialties. Now, this presumption is that angelic human hybrids, right? Spirits of the Nephilim, spirits of the giants, would have been different from the human soul and spirit made in the image of God. And that includes the ability to remain present in this world despite no longer having a physical body. But they're trying to seek those bodies. In comes those little beady-eyed bubblehead little creatures they call aliens, called the Greys, using DNA, body parts, corrupted, accelerated growth. They produce these beings that can be inhabited by ritual into bodies. You know that these demons can inhabit pigs? Well, what about the Bible? The Bible says the demons themselves ask Jesus to not send them to the abyss, but to cast them into the swine. Well, there you go. Either believe the Bible or you don't. Jesus acknowledged their request and said, okay, in the swine you go. And the legion of demons went into the swine. Of course, they didn't count on the swine not liking it too much and decided to kill themselves off of that, off of that cliff. They didn't count on 3,000 pigs going to the brink, the drink. Bubble, bubble. They went down. So they lost their bodies anyway. So they can inhabit snakes. They can inhabit anything physical. And even inanimate objects. You starting to see how this works? It's physics. Quantum physics. Biology, chemistry, alchemy. Knowledge of good and evil. Uh-huh. And this also could explain the desire of demons having to possess human beings. Gain control over a physical body. How they do that? Uh-huh. Physical vibrations. Drugs. Incantations. Ritual. Human sacrifice. Channeling. Avatars. Oh, I've talked about these things before in my broadcast. That's how they do it. When you get angry, mad, lustful, drugs, drunk, whatever, you lose that conscious control. The Holy Spirit pulls away, and they find a portal. Because you haven't pleaded the blood of Jesus and the full armor of God around you, they find a portal, an opening, they come into your body. If you're a Freemason and you've taken a blood oath, which is against God, you open up a major portal and you bring those demons home with you. That's why your children go haywire. Almost to the week that you become a Freemason, you start having troubles in school, troubles in their dress, troubles in their friends, troubles all kinds of ways. And this is the reason. This is the reason why. They become rebellious, and you're like, what's wrong with you now? You've brought it home with you. You require deliverance to take those demons out of there. Then to become born again, baptized. Although baptism is not required to be saved, it's an act of public show, and it's also an act of obedience, but not required to be saved. You don't have to go hunting a preacher down to dunk you in some kind of water before you're saved or born again. The Holy Spirit can baptize you. But it is obedience to be baptized. Obedience and required are two different things. The criminal on one side of Jesus was never told about Jesus to be baptized. He said, today you'll be me in paradise, because he believed in Jesus fully. He repented and believed in Jesus. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say, before you come to paradise, you got to get baptized. He didn't say that to the criminal. You see, that's another story. But back to fallen angels. And see, right now, and I'm going to throw something at you. The real Armageddon comes after 7 years. This is the purpose of transhumanism, super soldiers, because like our militaries are getting ready to take on the extraterrestrial menace. They're being told to. In the same mindset, Satan is preparing his super soldiers, transhumanized army of 200 million to be able to come against Jesus Christ and the 10,000s of saints at Armageddon. That is Armageddon. 7 years after, he knows that humankind cannot stand up to angelic power. This is what all this transhumanism, mixing DNA and a binary code together, super soldiers, all that, that's what that's for. Because in the Bible, in the sixth bowl of the seventh trumpet, is Armageddon. 200 million are transhumanized, supernatural. And all it's going to take is for Jesus Christ, and he will, give a command that this so-called transhumanized army defeat itself and it will fight itself to exhaustion and death. You're not going to have angelic beings like on TV, you know, they got, you know, 10,000 bad guys over here and 10,000 angels over there fighting each other in a big battle. That's not it. The Battle of Armageddon will end by them fighting themselves to death. And once again, the fallen angels will see their children kill themselves. They will be defeated. Then begins the thousand-year reign, and then begins Jesus Christ physically in Jerusalem, who will reign for 1,000 years. And then comes the Battle of Gog and Magog, when Satan is released once more to tempt the nations that have not been tempted that 1,000 years, will now have an opportunity to make a decision and a choice. That's why he releases him. That's yet to come. So what I'm leading up to is this manipulation of DNA is to set up for that battle, that war. Satan is working on it now. At the same time, he wants your soul to go to hell. These demons are there to inflict families, individuals, with all these sins. That's how it works. So we're back to the New World Order. Where we are yet to look forward to, I don't mean in a good way, but family, there's judgment coming. Back to fallen angels. The Nephilim explanation for the origin of demons is partly a result of a is said by some theologians a misunderstanding of who exactly the spirits in prison are in 1 Peter 3 verse 19. Also in Jude 6. So, several different ways of looking at it. Many is said to misunderstand the spirits in prison to be all of the fallen angels who rebelled against God. Well, if all the fallen angels are imprisoned, there must be some alternate explanation for the existence of demons. So, you have the need for the Nephilim explanation. However, not all the fallen angels are imprisoned. You see, Satan is the leader of this angelic rebellion against God, is not imprisoned. And the fallen angels, and I give you some of their names, there's 66 of them. The major ones are Saint Germain, handles the finances. Sanand Emmanuel is the fake Jesus, calls himself Yeshua. El Moria worked with Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey. Hilarion is a fallen angel assigned to the North American continent. That's 4 of 66. They're not imprisoned. They appear in UN meetings when they're invoked. They appear at the Wesak Festival every May when they're invoked there. Look up Saint Germain in the 18th century and see what you get. Quite amazing how they can take physical shape and form and even be in the history books. So, begs the question, why would God allow a rebel leader to remain free, but then confine the angels who followed Satan in the rebellion? Well, it makes more sense to understand the spirits in prison as the fallen angels who participated in the first or an additional rebellion. See, the sons of God are the daughters of men, instant in Genesis 6:2-4. The fallen angels, mated with human females, are the ones who are imprisoned now. But there is no solid biblical reason to reject the idea that the demons are the same beings as the fallen angels as well. Now, the book of Enoch was never written by Enoch. It's not possible. The book of Enoch has 80% truth, 70% truth, give or take, and 30 to 20% complete misrepresentation. It was never God-inspired. But it has some level of truth, although many put it a higher level of truth, and it's not. It's a Gnostic book, but it's written in the spirit to expose the fallen angels, but not expose them in a bad way, but to teach about them. That's a problem. But the book of Enoch does go into great detail regarding the Nephilim, and what I call it is eating the chicken, spit out the bones. But the Bible contains really all you need to know. The book of Enoch, never written by Enoch, has a lot of fraud in it. Now, I hadn't really intended on talking about the book of Enoch, because I don't give it a lot of credence, actually. Because you got to weed through it and determine what's garbage and what's not. And I find that to be a problem. I don't like having to go through all that, sometimes. But so I just don't really waste my time reading the full book of Enoch whatsoever. I've tried to glance through it, and it actually just bores me, actually, because the King James Bible tells you what you need to know about the giants. Enoch in verse 6, 7 to 8 gives a list of 19 angels who lead the fall of man. But Enoch 69, verses 2 to 3 gives a list of 21 angels. Supposed to be from the same group. Not only are there more names, the names are almost completely different. God doesn't make mistakes. And it's rightly rejected as an uninspired writing. And the knowledge of the realm of the dead, he's got, is completely wrong. It's completely out of whack. The book of Enoch also states that the intermixing of angels and human being, human seed, that created sin. And the angels spread sin by teaching forbidden topics to men. Well, Lamech is also told to hide so that his pure seed could be preserved. Well, God would then wipe out the world with a flood, thus removing sin. Chapters 8 and 10. But you see, John, 1 John 3 to 4, sin comes from breaking the law. Romans 5, verse 12. Sin began when one man broke God's law and continued because of all sin. And by the way, the statement that the mixed seed was not completely wiped out by the flood, it contradicts both the Bible and the book of Enoch itself. Only 8 people were saved. The book of Enoch says that none of the mixed race survived. In fact, they were supposed to have wiped themselves out before the flood in some epic battle. Oh, I could go on. But so you have to remember, while the book of Enoch contains some truth, Jude 14, it's not the inspired, which is really a prophecy, not a book. It's not the inspired, inerrant, and authoritative word of God. So we should never base a belief exclusively or even primarily from extra-biblical literature. So with no need to explain the existence of demons outside the fallen angels and no clear evidence of Scripture for the spirits of the Nephilim that would continue on earth, there's real no solid basis on which to identify the demons with the spirits of the Nephilim, although most theologians think it is. There's really no solid proof of that. It's possible. It cannot be derived explicitly from Scripture. But that's where it stands on that. So it comes about, we know that certain events surrounding the end times described in the Bible will include a powerful deception. Matthew 24, verse 24. Says, "For there shall rise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." I've always wondered about that, so I've started studying it myself. What kind of possible deception could that be? That's what led me to this study I've talked about tonight and before. I've been talking about this for several years now, but I always learn something new from it. But recently, interest has been rising in this theory that the deception will include alien beings from another planet. You have a lot of authors nowadays that say angel wars or something another like that, or as I already expressed about the aliens from other planets coming here, and they have TV movies that's got you, everybody all focused on it. Even Disclosure, the Iron Mountain Report, all that indicated. Reagan talked about it. Even Kissinger talks about it in 1991 at a Bilderberg meeting to lay the groundwork. Alien beings from another planet. Odd as it may appear, the theory is entirely plausible from even a Christian perspective, but not aliens, fallen angels. The Nephilim comes out of the ground when they're released. They will destroy every human being that's in those deep underground military bases. The deep underground military bases will be wiped out. If they think they're going to have seed banks and they're going to live down there while everything wiped out on Earth, oh, they got another thing coming. Those deep underground military bases will become their permanent grave. They will not survive under the ground, as they think they will. God will not allow it. They'll pray to die. And one part of the end times events of the Great Tribulation, God will not even let them die. People have no idea what's coming when that judgment begins. There is no inclusion of these in the creation account in Genesis, necessarily. No mention of these aliens elsewhere. The Bible does tell us about visitors from another world, the spiritual world. Aliens don't exist. Hence the original sin concept. You know, since the beginning, cases of demons or fallen angels visiting the earth have been witnessed and recorded. You have Eve's encounter with Satan. The demons are interested in monitoring and altering the progress of humanity. Your Christian identity and other cult groups like that actually say that Eve had a sexual encounter with Satan. The serpent seed. Then they say that they survived the flood, which we know is not possible. Bible says so. Only eight survived. Cain's entire race was wiped out. All human beings before that except for eight was wiped out. So that knocks that out of the park. They want to be involved with the goal of drawing humanity away from the worship of God and turning mankind's attention instead to them. That sound a little familiar? New Age movement, Ascended Masters. Sanand Emanuel. I've recounted to you the Genesis 6:4, the arrival of the sons of God, daughters of man. The Genesis account states that these powerful beings had sexual intercourse with women, produced a super race of beings known as Nephilim. That's where that comes from. Giants. So from that part of Genesis 6:4, they surmise that Samuel, or Satan, had sex with Eve then. And that Cain was the son of Satan and Eve. And that Abel came along later, like a fraternal twin or something. But this, what this does, though, see, this enters the prejudice side where they say all the minorities came from Cain. See, that's why they sneak that in. It gets ugly from there. It's just a bunch of nonsense. Also sounds like a stuff of science fiction, but it's right there in the Bible. A lot of this intermingling. There are striking similarities also between this account and the accounts of ancient cultures. Because Satan copies. And you know the writings of the ancient Sumerians, for example, were the first to produce a written language. They talk about the presence of the Anunnaki. There were deities that came from heaven who dwell on earth with men. Still includes it, even though the Bible does too. They both include it. Sumerians' gods came to them in the form of snakes. Reptiles. Remember? The fallen angels can take different shapes and forms. They can inhabit different animals and take their bodies. If they can't find a human, they'll take another body or an animal. Now you see how that works? And you know, these accounts, even seen alongside things created by ancient man, makes it real possible to even believe that demons in the form of beings from another world came to earth, bringing all this wisdom and knowledge to men, the knowledge of good and evil, and then intermarrying with them, with their daughters, in an attempt to draw the men away from God, with the lure of all this special knowledge, Freemasons. That special knowledge kind of draws people, don't it? Kind of makes you want more. Each degree you go up. I have this secret for the fifth degree. You can't tell the fourth, third, two, one degrees. But only you have the secret. 13th degree. Only you have this secret. You can't tell the 12th, 11th, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You can't tell those degrees. But you have this special knowledge, 13th degree. And so it goes to the 33rd degree. I'm special. Why? Because I can't tell you why, but I'm special. You see, that's how they draw you in. Oh, we're gone. Y'all have a great night. Have a great night. We'll see you next Monday, 9 to 11 on Revelation Radio Network. Come to me tomorrow at 4 to 6. And we continue on with discussing this alien Nephilim project. Y'all have a great night. It's Tom Gamble. Yeah.